All right, let's open up in prayer. Father, we just come to you and we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, into this place, that lives would be changed, that people would be changed, that your word would go forth, that the anointing would be present, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so my key verse today is found in Psalm 18:33, and it says, "He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights." So my question is, do you feel like you're living on the top of the mountain? How many people feel like they're on mountain heights right now? You're up there. Well, good. I see a couple of hands. I'm not there. I'm striving to get there, though. Amen? So I almost changed the message because it seems like in this freestyle preaching, everybody's doing friendships and unity. And then I realized that this is exactly what this is about, you know? So if you think about, if you were here last week, Pastor Jess did an excellent visual kind of play thing with a tug-of-war rope. Do you remember that? Were you here? Well, what she had one person on this side representing the Christian, and then on this side of the rope, she had sin, okay? And they're tugging back and forth, but when the Christian was able to call her friends out of the audience to help her, she was able to overcome sin. You remember that?
Yeah.
All right. So the problem is she had strong women of God helping her. They were all her same height, her same strength, her same age. What if her friends came from the under one-year-old class in Kids Rock? If she had all the little toddlers, maybe she had 30 of them. And they, like my little grandbaby and I, and she said, "Grab the rope and help me overcome sin." Would she win?
No.
No. So this is a message about not only who you associate with, because you can't just get any friend to help you, but also, are you the weak link? You know, can people come to you and ask you for prayer and you can give them the scripture to go to? Can you agree with them? Can you edify them, build them up, help them through their trial, giving godly words of advice? Turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So, are you able to discern good and evil? Or are your friends, are your senses trained? You know, we have to study to show ourselves approved, or we will not be able to overcome the enemy. So if you remember, our key verse said, "He makes me sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights." So if we're supposed to be standing on mountain heights, with or without these strong friends, how come a lot of us are still living in the valley? You know, we're supposed to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, we're supposed to have trials of various kinds. You know, as they came to Jesus, they're going to come to us, amen? But we're not supposed to camp out there. And as a lot of times, if we look at ourselves, what we're doing is we're just setting up house, making it nice and cozy in the valley. And we need to be on the mountaintop because that's where he has enabled us to stand. All right, so I was, last night, my daughter-in-law was like, "Hey, did you see this Facebook thing about the message tomorrow?" And I was like, "Somebody's preaching that? That looks really good." And I'm like, "Dog, it's me, you know?" And it was talking about Jennifer Lopez movie Enough. And I'm not plugging this movie. I can't even remember what it's rated, but I don't think there's any sex or cussing. I'm not sure. So don't run out and get it. The point is, and spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie, okay? So Jennifer Lopez is a beautiful young woman, and she meets the man of her dreams, and they fall in love, and they have a baby. All right, she finds out he's cheating on her. And when she confronts him and asks him to stop and, you know, talks about their marriage, he's like, "Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. Nothing you could do about it." And she's like, "Well, I'm not going to take it." And then he begins to become physically abusive. Okay. And he just starts beating her and whatever. So she decides to leave him, and every time she tries, he beats her up some more, and finally she's able to get away. And then she takes her daughter, and they're running. They're on the run, and she realizes that they're always going to be on the run. They're never going to be able to stop. He's never going to give up. She's changing her daughter's identity. She's changing her identity, and finally she stops, and she says, enough. We all have a breaking point. We all have a point where the devil can't push us past. You know, we've been living in the valley when we should be on the mountaintop. And we have to say enough. You know, unfortunately in the movie, she starts learning how to fight so she can kill him. And we really have to kill the devil. You know, it's time out for us to not have God's highest. You know, we've been allowing the devil to have far too much control in our thoughts, in our lives, in our families' lives, in our church families' lives, you know, just too much access to everything about us, and we belong to God. We belong to God. He should have no say-so over anything in my life. Amen? And we have to just take back everything that the devil has tried to take from us. We have to say, enough. I'm tired of you messing with my finances. The windows of heaven are supposed to be opening to me so that I can't even contain it. Enough. I'm tired of you messing with my health, the health of my family, the health of my children, the health of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm tired of you messing with the finances of our church family. Amen? We will pay off the building. Amen? You know, I'm tired of living in the valley when I should be on the mountaintop. So a lot of times we attempt to climb the mountain and we get kicked back down. And, you know, what does it mean to be on the mountaintop, first of all? It means that on the mountaintop, you have that strong, unstoppable, immovable kind of faith that doesn't ever waver. And you can claim the promises of God. Because the promises of God are for me and they're for you. Amen? Yeah. The promises of God say that you are complete in Him. You know, you remember that Jerry Maguire movie? And I love that line where Tom Cruise says, you complete me. You know, you don't need a man to complete you. You don't need a job or any title or any social status to complete you, because God promises that in Him you are complete. His promises says that you are alive in Him. You know, it's one thing to live, and it's another thing to be alive, where your joy is complete, where you not only have life, but you have the abundant life. These are some promises of God. Amen? He says that we are His righteousness. That means you don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. It's a gift, and He's promised it to us. So I have a couple of promises that I wanted you to maybe write down for your notes, because these need to be in your arsenal. They're some of my favorite promises, and they're on the mountaintop waiting for you, and we just need to reach out and claim them. Amen? Okay, the first promise is that God keeps His promises, and that's in Joshua 23:14. Not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. That's the first promise waiting for you. The second one that I love, and remember, these are my favorites. There are a million, and I had to really go through and pick which ones do I really stand on and want to share. And that's one that you probably have heard a million times, and it's Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory. So every need met. Do you have a need? Do you need for your mortgage? You need a husband? You need, what do you need? Every need is met. It's a promise. And if you're not living in the promises on top of the mountaintop, you need to tell the enemy, enough. I'm ready, you know? A third promise. Isaiah 49:25 says, for I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. That's one of my very, very favorites. Because you don't have to fight. He's going to contend with whoever contends with you. That means somebody messing with you. You know, I was the only child. I always wanted like an older brother or sister that could come around and say, you know, that's my little sister. Don't mess with her. But I had to fight for myself. But God says, you contend with them, I'm going to contend with you. And then the second part is even gets better, where He says, I will save your children. You know, so when your kids are acting totally crazy and you're looking at them like, is that the same little lovable child that I used to have? And where did the child that I knew go, you know? And you can say, this verse is a promise from God that he will be saved. You know, you train them up in the way they should go and they will be saved. Amen? Here's another promise from God, Luke 18:27. Put these in your arsenal if you don't already have them there. It says, but he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Anybody facing an impossible situation? Your finances are looking kind of dismal. Your marriage is looking kind of bleak. You know, it's possible with God. It's a promise. And Psalm 34:9-10 is the last one. It says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hungry, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So you're going to have every good thing. What's a good thing? You know, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So might you need a mate? That's a good thing. All right. You will lack no good thing. He's coming. You're about to be found. Amen. What's a good thing? Children are a blessing and a gift from God. Did you get a report from the doctor that says you're never going to have be able to bear a child, never to be able to carry a child? Say enough to the enemy. It's yours. It's a promise from God. God is not man that he should lie. You know, when Satan tells you something, you're never going to have a child. You're never going to do this. You're never going to do that. He cannot tell the truth. So you know he's lying. Amen. But when God says it, he's faithful and just. Amen. All right, in our same verse, you know, in the King James Version, it says, he makes my feet like hinds feet and setteth me upon high places. And when you look at that word, hinds feet, the hind is a female red deer. And I had a picture. Oh, I don't have no PowerPoint. Oh, okay. Well, has it been going?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I had a picture of a female red deer. And I was reading on my husband's an animal crazy person. Okay, but it's so interesting. It is interesting when you study them because the female red deer, unlike the male red deer, she doesn't have any antlers to protect herself like the man. He'll just fight with his antlers, right? She doesn't have antlers. So he's made her sure-footed and she can run fast. And so as she tries to climb away from the predators, her back feet step exactly the same spot as her front feet, and she's able to climb higher while all the other animals fall down off the mountain. Amen? So David here is saying that God makes us sure-footed like the deer, like the hinds, like this red deer that's able to climb out of harm's way, amen, and able to get away from the predator. And so David didn't ask God to make the path smooth or take the mountain away, did he? He just said, make me sure-footed so that I can get up it. So the mountain is there. The rugged path is there. He's not going to take it away, but he's going to enable you to get to the mountain height. Amen. So, oh, I went the wrong way. And so there's a lot of predators after this deer, and we have only one predator. Who's our predator? Satan. And when you are a predator, you're going to go after things that are small and weak and slow. Amen? So are you weak? Are you going to be prey for our predator, the devil? You know, when all hell is breaking loose, do you stand with your armor on and fight strong in the Lord? Or do you call a friend to pray because you're not sure you can get a prayer through because you haven't talked to him in a while? And maybe you know some good sayings, but you're not even sure. Are those Bible or were those just good sayings, you know, and you don't really know? 2 Corinthians 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So he's showing himself strong through you. It's not your own strength. It's God's strength shown himself through you, okay? So don't be weak and be eaten up by the devil and live in the valley. Are you small? You know, if you feel that you're small, that means you're not understanding who you are in Jesus Christ. Because 1 John 4:4 says that the greater one is on the inside of you. So don't just be, you know, roadkill for the enemy. The greater one is on the inside of you. Amen? That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. Are you slow? You know, have you heard the joke in, I don't know, Steve and Mark are in camping and they see a bear coming at them, and Steve begins to put on his tennis shoes, and Mark says, "What are you doing? You can't outrun a bear." And Steve says, "I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you." You know? Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, "The fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and the strongest warrior doesn't win the battle, but it's the one who endures." It's not that you have to be the fastest. You just have to learn how to run. Amen? And you could learn how to run if you didn't have weights. So you have to think about for a minute, is there anything, you know, Hebrews 12:1 says, lay aside every weight that's holding you down and run your race. So things that weigh us down, unforgiveness, jealousy, low self-esteem, envy, these are weights that we just have to cast off, cast them off. And we got to learn how to run our race. Do we have any runners in the room? Who likes to run? Well, that's good. I'm not a runner. But in preparing this message, I looked up the proper way to run. And so what it seems is that as you begin to run and you're doing your jog, right? After a few minutes, you need energy. That's the first thing. ATP, not important, but you need this energy to run. And that's from the food that you eat, right? And then as you begin to run, if you are a runner and used to running, after a while, after about 10 minutes, you get all these feel-good hormones, we'll call them, and you start to feel really great, and you've had a great job. If you're not a runner, you immediately feel this lactic acid building up in your large parts of your muscle, where you feel like, I just got to stop. I can't go another step. That's usually where I stop. Because it feels terrible and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm dying, you know, or something. but if you push past that point, you get that feel good, right? And we have to learn how to run by first, you know, we have to eat. You know, we have to eat often. You know, we have to graze. And if you tried to run after eating 25 Twinkies, you're not going to have the stamina as when you're eating whole foods. You agree? In Ezekiel 34:14, it says, "I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel." And we need to graze on the word. You know, I've been looking up different animals, and you know they have certain times of the day where they graze, and they graze from anywhere from 6 to 10 hours a day. And that's how often we need to have the Word of God on our minds. We may not be able to open the Bible that many times a day, but we always have to be in constant prayer. You know, pray unceasingly, grazing on the Word, just thinking about the goodness of God, thinking about His words. Amen? And then what are you eating? You know, what are you exposing yourself to? Do you hear the Word of God often, or are you hearing things from television and movies and negative friends? John 6:51 says, "I am the living bread that came out of heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh." So we need to be eating the words of Jesus. He's the bread of life. Amen? So that we can run the race after we cast off all the weights that are holding us back, all the unforgiveness, all the cares of the world, cast them off so we can run, not to be the fastest, but to endure. Amen? And He's going to make us sure-footed because we're destined to be on the mountaintop where the promises of God are. But guess what? It's not easy still to get up the mountain. The mountain may have some boulders. It may have some fallen limbs. It may be very rugged terrain that you have to cross. So what are some boulders might be blocking your way as you try to get to the promises of God on the mountaintop? Maybe they're like cancer or health concerns. You fight them with the Word of God. You got to move the boulder. Amen? Maybe there's some potholes that you can't get around because they're so large. Like maybe your aging parents with failing memories. A friend that has passed that you can't get over. Maybe there's some fallen limbs that you need to lift out the way. like your kids are going south or your marriage isn't the way you want it to be. Or maybe it's just rugged ground. You know, we need to break up the fallow ground. Fallow ground is caused by sadness, when we should have joy, unspeakable joy, depression. You're depressed because what? Because you were able to get up this morning and open your eyes to see that you can speak, you can hear, you can talk, you know, that you're not in a hospital room somewhere. You know, you need to stop looking at the glass as half empty and see it as half full and realize that we serve a good, good God. He's a good, good God.
That's right.
And just like the red deer who's climbing out of a predator's way, you know, they have a lot of things after them, bears and boars and what other animals, you know, are after this deer. And we have the enemy. Different animals have different ways to avoid becoming somebody's prey. We talked about not being small-minded, not being weak, and not being slow, so we aren't prey to the devil, right? Well, you know, the other thing that the deer does, and I have 4 points so that we do not become prey, and the first is we have to be quiet. You know, the deer, if you see a deer and they just are remaining very motionless, not making a sound, so that they don't cause attention to the predator that's coming their way. And did you also know that frogs and crickets stop singing when there's a predator coming their way? It's just quiet in the forest, okay? And sometimes we need to watch our mouths. You don't even realize how much you're saying, like, I'm never going to amount to anything. I can't do anything right. Everything I touch fails. Never been good at that. I can't get up for getting down. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Woe is me. Life is terrible. You got to watch what you say.
That's right. That's right.
Speak the word or zip it.
Okay.
What's Pastor Deborah say? Shutteth thou upest? The second thing, so we got to be quiet, watch our mouths. The second thing we have to do that the animals do is be still and listen. Okay, so they're perfectly still and they're listening for the predator coming by. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you while you keep still. A lot of times we're just too busy. We're trying to fix it on our own. We're all on the internet seeing what we can do. We're calling friends to borrow money. We're running here. We're running there. You just need to be still and know that God is there, that God loves you, that you serve a good God. He's got it in control. He lives in you. He's going to take care of you just like he takes care of the lilies of the field. Amen?
Right.
Just be still. So be quiet and be still. And the third thing is stop trying to camouflage. You know what camouflage is? You got that picture? Okay, can you see an owl? And it looks like it's the bark of a tree. Can you see him?
Yeah.
All right, so camouflage is trying to blend into the background so you can't be found. And so there's moths and owls and birds that sometimes try to camouflage. And a lot of times people try to camouflage. Turn to Acts chapter 19 for a moment, verse 11. It says, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. You cannot prevent the devil from attacking you by trying to act like something you're not. So you know all the Christianese sayings? And you've heard enough scriptures to get by, but you know that you either haven't made Jesus Lord of your life or you're not living it.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Faith without works is dead.
That's right.
Yes, we're saved by grace, but because we love him, because we've accepted him, then our actions follow. Amen?
Right.
You can't say what you heard Pastor Jess or Pastor Michelle say, and he'll be like, I know Pastor Jess, I know Pastor Michelle, but who are you? They fled naked, beaten up, and wounded. Camouflage, trying to blend in and not be seen so that the devil doesn't get you. You have to, if you're going to talk the talk, then you got to walk the walk, right? That's the only way you're going to be able to get to the mountaintop and not become the enemy's prey. And the last thing, and I'm going to teach you a new word that I learned. The last thing is be different. And I pushed the little audio button so I could say it correctly. And it's aposematism. That is the word. A new word for the day. Anybody collect new words? Okay, I thought this was pretty cool. Aposematism. And this is an advertising signal that animals use. It could be an odor, like from a skunk, to say, you mess with me, you stink very badly for a very long time. There's a little frog, a poisonous frog. You see how brightly colored he is? He's small and he's weak, but he's deadly.
Yeah.
All right? There's also, what's the next picture? There was another little animal. There's a snake. There's a skunk. And then there's a snake that's very brightly colored. And all the animals know that they are dangerous. And you've got to stop being in the world when you're not a part of the world. You've got to stand out. So the devil knows, I may look small, I may look weak, but I'm deadly.
Yeah.
Because the greater one is on the inside of me.
Yeah.
Amen? Aposematism. Be different. Don't be afraid to let the enemy know that you're not of this world. You're a peculiar people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he cannot mess with you anymore. You've had enough. Amen? So stand out. Be different. Now, I was reading, has anybody heard of Oswald Chambers? All right, he wrote a book that I love called My Utmost for His Highest. It's a devotional, and I think that's probably what inspired me to write a devotional because I just thought it was amazing. Well, in reading about him, he was a Baptist preacher's son in Scotland back in the 1800s or something, right? And he died an early death, like I think in his 40s from a ruptured appendix. But during his time, he wrote all these profound little sayings and interpreted scripture. And 10 years after his death, his wife compiled all these and wrote 366 devotionals, and she put them in this book called My Utmost for His Highest. And people have written Christian songs based on this and all this kind of thing. So I thought that was kind of neat. But I want to read this little excerpt from one of his books. It says, if you are a child of God, you will certainly encounter adversities. But Jesus says, you should not be surprised when they come. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He is saying there is nothing for you to fear. However, the same people who refused to talk about their adversities before they were saved often complain and worry after being born again because they have the wrong idea of what it means to live the life of a saint. God does not give us overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. It's the strain of life what builds our strength. If there is no strain, there will be no strength. Are you asking God to give you life and liberty and joy? He cannot unless you accept the strain. And once you face the strain, you will immediately get the strength. Overcome your own fear and take the first step. Then God will give you nourishment. Revelation 2:7 says, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. If you completely give of yourself physically, you become exhausted. But when you give of yourself spiritually, you get more strength. God never gives us strength for tomorrow or for the next hour, but only for the strain of the moment. Our temptation is to face adversities from the standpoint of our own common sense. But a saint can be of good cheer even when seemingly defeated by adversities, because victory is absurdly impossible to everyone except God. Amen? So we need to learn how to run. We need to eat the right food. Amen? And we need to learn how to graze. What time of the day have you set apart to graze on the Word of God? Early in the morning, late at night, all throughout the day, Animals graze 8 to 10 hours a day. You got to eat good food. You got to watch what you expose yourself to. You got to watch who your friends are. You can't get 10 little babies from the nursery and think that they're going to help you overcome sin. And you can't be the weakest link in the chain. You've got to study to show yourself approved. Amen? You got to move boulders out the way. God will take care of the boulders. You got to cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. You got to step over potholes, move the fallen limbs. You know, you have to break up the fallow ground and stop being depressed and sad and realize where your strength comes from, that you can do the impossible with God. You have to keep your mouth filled with the Word of God and stop talking negative. You're an overcomer. You are royalty. You got to stay still and listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit that's going to lead you up the mountain to the promises of God. You got to avoid trying to camouflage and be what you are not and instead become who you want to be. Be different, letting the devil know that enough is enough and that you're a threat to him because you have the same power that raised Christ from the dead within you. Amen? I hope you got something from today's message.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.